that those in Samaria who are saved on a wide scale believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for or because of the saying of the woman. And the word saying means the word of the woman. The original language, the particular word that is used here, translated saying, is actually a very common word in the New Testament that means word. And so, for the word of the woman, she spoke. She said something, because it goes on to say, which testified. She told something to her own people, and therefore she was a faithful messenger, and God used that.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Hello and welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, the pastor of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, 1879 58th Avenue, Surrey. We give a warm invitation to you and your family to attend the Western Bible Conference in our congregation in Cloverdale from Friday the 31st of July through to Sunday the 2nd of August. The meetings will be advertised on our webpage, cloverdalefpc.ca. Do visit our page for the times of those services, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and our Facebook page as well will have the details of these meetings. During the month of July, we are sharing old messages from our conference with you here on our programme. Today's preacher is the Reverend John Greer from Northern Ireland, and his subject is local revival. May the Lord bless the ministry of his word.
She speaks of Messiah, but the Lord says something to her that to me pinpoints the moment of her conversion. In verse 26, again I read it to you. And it says, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And that verse may be read this way. Listen carefully to how it may also be read. The Lord was saying this, I am speaketh unto thee. I am speaketh unto thee. What was happening here? The Lord was revealing to that woman that he was the I am. You know, in the Gospel of John, there's a tremendous focus on that blessed title, that divine title that comes from the Old Testament that is really based on the name Jehovah. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the I am. And it's said over and over again in the book of John, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd and so on. The seven I ams of John's gospel. But the Lord used that phraseology on other occasions in John's gospel, in the record that's there. And this is one of them. And here's a woman who with all her religion is in darkness. Here's a woman who with all the speaking of a temple and a religion and worship doesn't know the true God. And now the one who is God manifest in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, he confronts that woman and he says to her, I am speaketh unto thee. And men and women, that's when the woman was saved. Because as soon as the Lord said those words, as the subsequent verses show, that dear woman began to demonstrate that something has happened in her heart. that the Lord has saved her. He has awakened her. He has drawn aside the veil from her mind. He has removed the darkness from her heart. He has taken away the unbelief and the misunderstanding. He has removed from her thinking all of the clutter and all of the darkness of her own religion, and the light has shone into her soul. She's now personally brought face to face with the Christ of God, with the I Am, with God manifest in the flesh, and she is saved on the spot. And the Lord then takes her and he uses her to be the instrument, the faithful messenger of bringing about that awakening in the city of Sychar. One woman. That's where he started. You heard me say last night, I think it was, I made a reference to the 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. What a wonderful move of God that was. The history of that period tells us, the reliable historians, men who lived then, who were on the scene, who saw what happened, who were witnesses of the great change in that little country of mine that was dark and lost and wicked and ungodly, that at least 100,000 souls were converted inside 1 year within the parameters of a little country that you could drive across in 2 hours. But let me tell you something, that awakening in 1859 in Northern Ireland, it began with one woman, just like this. The historians tell us, it's fascinating, about a lady called Mrs. Colville. She was an English woman. I don't know how, I don't know the details, nobody really knows. But that woman suddenly turned up on the streets of my town of Ballymena in 1858, thereabouts, 57, 58. And she began to go around the doors of that town telling people about Jesus Christ. How she got there is a mystery. But the Lord had her there. And one day when she was talking to a group of women who were standing on their own doorsteps on a certain street in that town, there was a young man who was passing by. And that young man overheard what these women were discussing and what Mrs. Colville was telling them about the Savior and about the gospel. And as he passed by and heard these words being said, the Holy Spirit smote him. And he was converted as a result. That young man then went to a number of friends, and I am jumping over a lot of detail here for time's sake, but he got together with himself three other young men who had been recently saved, and they went to a little village outside the town of Ballymena, and they began to meet in a schoolhouse. A little old country schoolhouse, and you know what's still there? I've seen it dozens of times, driven past it. It's still there. And they went to the little schoolhouse, and through the whole winter nights of 1857 and into 1858, they prayed. And as they prayed, God began to move. And into the whole area of Ballymena, the Spirit of God descended, and the 1859 revival began. It was born in the heart of that young man who heard a woman speak of the Lord Jesus. And it began to spread throughout the community of that particular town and district, and then across the whole of that little country. And God did that mighty work, but he began that work through a faithful messenger, one individual. My dear friend, you might be the individual whom God will use in your area, among your people, to begin a work that will spread mightily to others all around. You see, God saves individuals, Every conversion is an individual matter. The Lord doesn't work in a fashion where individuals don't know what's going on. They know fine well what's going on. In a given meeting, there may be 10 unsaved people, and the Lord works in that meeting, and one over there and one over there become converted. I've seen that many a time. He works in individual hearts. I ask you tonight, are you saved? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Has the Lord wrought in your heart? Are you changed? Are you a new man, a new woman, a new young fella, a young lassie? Are you truly the Lord's? May the Lord work in your heart tonight and make something of you and use you for His glory. That's what happened in John 4. This faithful messenger with her personal testimony of what the Lord had done for her, as she went and told the men of that city, come see a man that told me everything that I have ever done. That leads me to this. Not only was she as a faithful messenger, not only is there a personal testimony, but it's a particular testimony. It says there in verse 39, the woman testified, he told me all that ever I did. Now go back to verse 17. What did the Lord tell this woman? Begin at verse 17. Well, in fact, verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. When you read the background to that statement from Christ, he already has spoken to the woman about the water of life. You find that in verse 13, verse 14. He says, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. That's the water out of Jacob's well, the physical water. But verse 14, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Now that's not physical water. That's the water of life. That's Christ himself. He is the water of life. And here's this woman busily going through life day after day, drawing water out of a well to quench her physical thirst, when all the while she has no consciousness of her spiritual need. And so the Lord has told her, he says, I'll give you water to drink, as a result of which you will never thirst again. And she said, well, give me that water. And then the Lord strangely said to her, go and call your husband. What's going on here? The Lord's beginning to reveal to her sin. That's what's going on. You see, the woman heard about this water that would satisfy her. I believe that woman was not happy. There's a misery in her, and obviously so, because of the kind of woman she was. Sin had not made her happy. She's miserable, she feels it, she knows it, but she doesn't know the answer. And when she hears the Lord talk about this water that would leave her satisfied, well, she wants it right away. And you know, my dear friend, if that woman were here today in this world of ours and was in many a place where a preacher's in the pulpit and she said, preacher, I would like to get saved now, he would have her pointed to Christ without beginning to counsel her concerning her sin. But the Lord didn't do that. The Lord just didn't jump, as it were, into the situation and say to that woman, well, if you want to be satisfied and you want the water of life, we will deal with that right now. No, the Lord said, go call your husband. Then look at verse 17. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The Lord knows all about her. I'm telling you from this pulpit tonight, that woman must have been shocked to the depth of her being. She has never seen this person before. She doesn't know anything about him. As she talks about the Messiah a little later on, she doesn't know the Messiah standing there face to face with her. And it's all because she's a darkened, lost sinner. Her life ruined and blighted and marked by her immorality. She's a sinful woman. And you know, the Bible puts it in a manner that is sanctified language. This woman was a harlot, a fallen woman. And yet the Lord had to expose to her exactly who she was. And that was her testimony. Come see a man who told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? The light had dawned, you see. Let me tell you tonight, that's how the Lord does deal with people. He exposes to them their sin. As the Lord spoke to that woman, her whole life would have passed before her. She's had five husbands, one after the other. She now is living with a man who's not her husband. Her life is a mess. Her life is full of sin. And the Lord knows all about it. And she's astounded. And she's shocked. As I've already said, her life is brought before her in an instant. But the point is, she testifies in this particular way. He told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? What does that mean for us tonight? What does that mean for a gospel witness tonight? What is that saying to us? It's saying this, my dear friend, the Savior of men is the revealer of men's sins. Christ does not cover up sin. Christ is not in the business of leading people into some empty profession. He's not involved in that whole deceitful arena of things where people are told if you'll just say this prayer, all is well, and you're on your road to heaven now, but there's no change in their lives, and there's no repentance from sin, and there's no desire to live for God or have a holy life, and there's no brokenness, and there's no contrition, and there's no sorrow. And my friend, it's all one grand deceit. But Jesus Christ does not deal with this woman in that way, because he's going to use that woman to bring this awakening. So he must change her, and he does change her. And she goes and she tells the men of the city. Look at verse 28. I want to read that verse and then move on to 29. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. I pause there. Why did she not go to the women? She went to the men. Because she has sinned her life away with men. And now she goes to those men to tell them what has happened in her life. Perhaps this woman, and I believe this to be true, this woman was an outcast by the other women of her city. And they have nothing to do with her. That's why she arrived at the well on her own. Usually the women of the city went together to draw water, and she arrives there and there's no other woman with her. It's because of her character. It's because of her behavior. They don't want to touch her. They don't want anything to do with her. And therefore, she is now saved, but she goes to the men of the city and she says to them, come see a man which told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And it was that point of her testimony that led to the awakening. Look at verse 39 now. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. That was her personal, particular testimony. I've met with the Messiah. He told me all about my life. He revealed my sin to me. This is the Messiah. And as soon as she said that, Look at what happened in verse number 30. I go back to verse 30 at this stage. And it says there, then they went out of the city and came unto him. Those words are very important. As soon as she said, come see a man, there was an immediate response. The awakening has begun. They leave the city. And we're told in verse number 30, they went out of the city and they came unto him. My friend, that's more than the physical approach of those men to where the Lord was standing. It's much more than that. These men are now coming to Christ themselves. They have heard from this woman. They have heard her personal, particular testimony. Indeed, a powerful testimony of what the Lord has done for her. And they are moved. And they are awakened. And they realize we need to meet that same person whom this woman has met. This is how this revival, this awakening began in that city. Through that faithful messenger. And you know, I call it a powerful testimony as well for the simple reason that through this woman, the prejudice was broken down. Remember what she herself had said. If you go back to verse number 9, we didn't read this verse, but we'll go back to it now. Thus saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews, this is John's comment, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. There was deep prejudice and bitterness and hostility. And before the gospel can get into the city of Sychar, before the Lord can work in that city on that wide scale, he must gain an entrance that will remove the prejudice and the hardness of their hearts. And so he saves that dear woman. And as a result of saving that woman, the barriers come down. The obstacles are removed. And the whole city begins to make its way out to where Jesus Christ is standing. And the work goes on from there. Do you see the value of a faithful messenger? You, my friend, telling others of what the Lord has done for you, how he confronted you about your sin, what he wrought in your heart, what he did in your life, how he changed you. That's the essence of her story. And the result was that God began to move among others. Now, I do not know how many people you might be used to bring to Christ. That's the sovereign prerogative of God. But I do know this, that the Lord saves anybody, any individual, to make that person his witness and have you work and live and minister in Calgary or Prince George or Cloverdale, that there might be others gathered in, whatever the number might be. And the question is, are we living and testifying and being faithful messengers like this woman became? Because that was the beginning of this whole work.
As the pastor of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, I do invite you and your family to our Western Bible Conference. This conference is in its third year and has moved around the various churches that we have in Williams Lake and in Calgary. And this year it is coming to our congregation in Cloverdale. The conference takes place from Friday the 31st of July. There will be an evening meeting and then it continues on Saturday, the 1st of August. There will be a gathering in the morning, and then there will be a meeting again in the evening. On the Lord's Day, the 2nd of August, we will be meeting at 10:30 a.m. in the morning and 6 p.m. in the evening, or normal times of worship. The preacher will be Pastor Logan Elder, who is the minister of Orlando Free Presbyterian Church in Florida in the United States. And he will be coming to bring God's word to our conference. We do warmly invite you and your family to come and join us. The various details and the times of the services are available on our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. That email address will be repeated at the end of today's program in a few moments. You can also email me, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. You can also contact me on telephone 604-576-1091. And I'll be more than happy to pass on the various details of our conference to you. It is also important for Christians to have access to good and sound Christian literature. And this was one of the desires that we had for our conference when it commenced in 2024. And as a result of that, we will be having a book table at our conference on the Friday evening and on the Saturday. There will be a wide range of Reformed and evangelical materials available, books for children, devotionals, theological books, and a selection of Bibles. We also love the Puritans and the Puritan literature, and there will be a wide selection of Puritan books for you to consider. The Puritans loved the Word of God. They loved to expound the Scriptures and to emphasize the importance of righteous living, of living your life as an example that points to the Lord Jesus Christ and His so great salvation. They desire to know more of God day by day, and that is the aim for our conference, so that our congregation, those who attend, will grow in their spiritual walk. And so we invite you and your family to join us, and do visit our website for those additional details. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all His fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.